Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening to the show, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd. Man. So good. So good to be with you here. On a Thursday, NBA Finals Game 2 tonight. Of course, Colin will be back and reacting to it. In the meantime, though, I was thinking, have you gotten this? Apparently, the iPhone, did they skip over 13? Is that what they did? Because 13 is somehow an unlucky number. There's a new iPhone coming out in the fall, right? And if you have any of the older versions of the iPhone, you're like, wow, that's too good to be true. I trade this thing into whatever my carrier is, and I actually might save money? How does that work? It doesn't actually work that way, but that's okay. You get the new equipment. Newer's bigger, better. Okay, now we have another camera. Only this one does your laundry and your taxes. I have the 10... So it's the X, S, or whatever. I have the X Max, right? I have the bigger one, not because I'm blind. Honestly, here's my working philosophy with why I've always gotten the bigger phone. I don't lose it. Like when we had smaller iPhones, right? When you had that little small size iPhone, it feels a little bit like your wallet, or now I carry one of those kind of fake money clip things. It's like a money clip, but credit card holders. They're roughly the same size as the smaller, older iPhones, right? So for me, I would get confused between the two, right? Because now when you leave the house, you're like, all right, I got my keys, I got my wallet, my phone, I'm good, right? But sometimes when the wallet and the phone feel exactly the same, you get a little confused. This is actually how my brain works. And so once I went to the bigger phone, it's like going to a big screen. Remember the first time you got a big screen TV? You're like, I'm never going back to a smaller TV. When I was a kid, and we're all kids, Southern California, the only time you ever saw a big screen TV was somebody was rich, okay, or you went to Shakey's Pizza after a football or soccer or baseball game, and you watch, somebody was like, let's watch the game. And the kids are like, yeah, can I just have money for the arcade? Anyway, and it had those three lights. I don't know how the three lights exactly worked that were in front. You remember. Okay. So my first hour of broadcasting was 2001, 2002, or 2000, yeah, 2000, well, 2002, 2003. Excuse me. 2002, 2003, I did games. And then I went back and played in France. And anyway, I was hanging out at my house, and I remember thinking, I got to get a big screen TV. And I got one of those roll-in Mitsubishi big screen TVs, and I was like, I'm never going back. And then over the next couple of years, you started to get into the HDTV, and once you go to HDTV, you're never going back. Right? Now everybody has a flat screen on the wall, and you're like, the idea, ever show a kid like an old Sony Watchmen from when we were kids? They're like, well, you watched games on this? Like, yeah, it was the best you could do. If you're at a sporting event, your dad'd be watching the football game on this deal. Now, of course, you can watch things on your phone. So I was thinking about Chris Paul. Okay, Chris Paul, over the last two games, this includes Game 6 versus the Clippers, Game 1 versus the Bucks, and he has been otherworldly. 36.5 points, 65% field goal percentage, 73% three-point percentage. I mean, he basically said, like, hey, fellas, get him a back. We're going to a championship. And what inevitably follows is, what are you going to do next if he follows through and wins a championship? Chris Paul is in his, I always say everything's mid-30s. That's what I did when I was in my late 30s. right? Where you're like, hey, as long as you're not, as long as you're, he's 36 years old. He just turned 36 in May. Okay. And if you watch him play, you'd be like, dude, that guy can play 10 more years like this. I've heard people say, well, at this pace, three more years, this, no problem. Keep in mind that Chris Paul hasn't played a lot of basketball here down the stretch. Like, what do you mean? Well, he actually missed two of the games against the Clippers because of COVID protocols, right? Remember, if you go back to the Lakers series, he had that bizarre kind of pinched nerve shoulder sort of deal. I mean, this is just the reality is he played four games against the Nuggets. Right? He played six games against the Lakers, but he was limited in terms of his production early on in that series. But if you look back, okay, Chris Paul has only played five basketball games since the 13th of June. Five. So we're essentially in a month, he's played five NBA games because of the time off, because of the COVID protocols. Five. So he's fresh, he's rested, he's the best version of himself, and the way in which both of the last two teams guarded him was, hey, let's switch and make Chris Paul beat us. And you know what he did? He beat him. So first, I want you to understand, Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. I want you to first understand, and the good thing about having Ryan Music produce now Colin's show, and he used to produce my show, is he can, I'm sure, find the tape somewhere where I said unequivocally, Chris Paul is my like favorite point god. Like if I could have played like one person, it would be like Chris Paul. Like that's the type of player that I imagine myself ultimately being. I was not. That's why I did not make the NBA. Fully well aware of my flaws as a player as well as a person. But I love the way the guy plays. And I understand the tenacity, the way in which, I mean, if you're going to be 6 feet tall, playing the NBA, you're going to have to be so tough. Some dudes are just not going to like you, and some guys are going to want to fight you. Right? Happened with Isaiah Thomas, happened with John Stockton, happens with all these guys. The really, really good ones, they're tougher than a $2 steak. They're just because they have to bite, scratch, claw for everything at the defensive end because they're at a size disparity. But Chris Paul and the idea that the Suns, like, here's what they're faced with in the upcoming offseason. Got to re-up him. And the price tag is somewhere in the 3 years, $100 million variety. Which anyone who's watched the last two games or watched the playoffs or heard the quotes from all of these Suns players, man, the greatest leader I've ever seen. This is unbelievable. Blah, 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 blah. We got to just give them all the money. Chris Paul is an old version of the iPhone. Works perfectly well. There are some things that you can do on the old iPhone, which are better than the new iPhone. It's right. It's like Chris Paul has an unbelievable mid-range game, especially when he gets the ball to his right hand. Like he gets that mid-range 15-foot kind of pull up, fading. It doesn't matter. As long as he's going right, bucket. Sadale three like to go left. Chris Paul likes to go right. It's a bucket. And you're convincing yourself, a lot like the iPhone, right? Like, Laker fans are sitting there going, man, if we had him, if that trade would have gone through, Kobe would have won five titles instead of two more titles, and this would have been completely different, and his career trajectory would have been different. If I had this iPhone back when I had that flip phone, you know, like I remember when I was at ESPN, and they had the ESPN the phone. Had ESPN the phone been on the iPhone like a couple years later, it would still be around. But everyone's trying to convince you that, you know, Chris Paul, the iPhone, this old classic iPhone still works. It's still good. You don't need another camera. The button's still cool. Hey, but what inevitably happens? Yes, at some point, Apple's going to slow your ability to download stuff. At some point, you're going to stop getting updates. Anybody had one of these really old phones or been friends with one of these guys? Like, oh, I call this Betsy. I'm never leaving Betsy. Betsy's my girl. And then all of a sudden, Betsy shuts down on you. Do you guys remember what happened at the end of Jason Kidd's career? He was playing with the New York Knicks. He was having a relatively good season. They got to the NBA playoffs, and he could not make a layup. So we do this like snapshot of now and be like, look at Chris Paul now. Like, look, he's only played five games in the last month. Of course he's fresher and better down the stretch than the Milwaukee Bucks that had to play without Giannis, had to go seven games in overtime in game seven against the Nets. Then they had to survive through, six games with the Hawks, right? And then turn around and go on the road to Phoenix. Meanwhile, he's popping in fresh as a daisy, like, hey, what's going on? Of course. We have 15 years of data that says that Chris Paul is more likely to break down this time of season, this time of year, than he is to be what we've seen over the past couple of games. I don't know if it's next year or in 2 years or in year three. Maybe you get to year three and you're like, look, we got 2 years of sunk cost. We're good. Year three. At some point, that iPhone becomes obsolete. And while we celebrate and embrace the fact that a guy who has been a great player for a long time, we have to have the balance of saying, like, I kind of think they would have lost the Lakers. I'm not sure. The Nuggets lost. Jamal Murray was the best player in the bubble going back to last year. I mean, that's 25 to 30 points a game. That series would have been different. And the Clippers didn't have Kawhi Leonard, then didn't have Zubac, or didn't have Serge Ibaka. I don't know what that one looks like. So, we can appreciate this run, appreciate all that he's done. But the idea of three more years with that same old iPhone at a rate commensurate with production of the past, that is a dangerous gamble. And anyone who's had one of those old iPhones and then all of a sudden they just stop working. You ever had that? Just stop working. And then you bring it in, you're like, they're like, what's wrong with it? Like, doesn't work. Like, what do you mean? Doesn't work. You plug it in and go, sir, this is not charging. I told you it doesn't work. That's how this thing ends. And the reason that these championship runs don't become runs, like, look, what's the classic tale of what happened with the Lakers? It's not just that Anthony Davis got hurt, but they did try and make moves because they knew Rondo was over the hill and that playoff Rondo thing was a kind of flash in the pan deal. But re-signing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to a massive contract when he played above his level, go back and look at Cleveland. Why'd the Cleveland thing fall apart? Tristan Thompson, big money. J.R. Smith, big money. This is what we do. We overreact to what happens in the biggest of moments, and we think we have to reward those guys.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So there are decisions that you make, and I have a friend in my life who's trying to make a decision about his professional future. And it falls in line with this discussion. Okay? Now, I'll give you kind of all the info I can give you on changing jobs and making decisions I have. You will have people tell you, and the easiest, lamest, least decisive way of making a decision is, you know what you should do? You should put out a list of pros and cons. Write a list, pros, cons. Put them against each other, and then decide. Well, every list is going to have cons, and everything is going to have pros. Some pros are more valuable than others, right? That doesn't... But when I left ESPN for CBS, I did the pros and cons list. When I left CBS for Fox, I did the pros and cons list. And there was just, there's pros. If you have two potential futures, like there's the fact you have a job is a massive pro. And moving sucks. Changing things like, oh, I got to learn all the new security passcode. I got to go through, more HR training. I got to learn new people's names. You know, once you get to a place, you place for 3, 4, 5 years. You're like, man, I know everybody here. The pros and cons thing, like anybody who suggests that to you, like, you got to do better. That is the lamest advice. You know what you should do? You should do a pros and cons list. That doesn't help you. Why? Well, there'll be pros and there'll be cons. And there's probably more pros than there are cons, unless you don't want a job. Like, okay, well, what you should do is, what does your life look like in 5 years? Well, first of all, who the hell knows? You think 5 years ago we thought we'd be in a pandemic where dudes didn't have to leave their house and you could work from home and people were fighting over toilet paper for 6 months? Like, no. Meanwhile, like, what about the time between now and 5 years? In 5 years, it might be great, but in 5 years, my kids are 10 years old. Or in 5 years, my kids are out of college. Like, everything is contextualized. There is the smart choice and there's the right choice. Right? For example, my dear friend is in one profession. He's been in that profession for 25 years. And he recently got a raise in that profession. Now, he was making like 2X. Okay, let's just say 2X of what he's making now. Okay. And he lost his job because of the pandemic. In an effort to maintain kind of a foothold in that profession, he took a job which was frankly below his capabilities, and it was like 0.5x of what he makes now. Okay. And in truth, had he been like a lot of youths, right, and said like, I'm out of work, pandemic, he'd probably make more money collecting government checks than he did this last year working, and he's away from his family. So his decision is, do I continue with my current job, which is back paying me X? Again, not 2X of what he was making, but X. And X is a very solid living wage. For somebody who's been 25 years in the business, it's half of what he probably should be making at this point in time in his life. Or does he go out of that business and make 0.75x, 0.8x? But he lives closer to home, right? And even though the grind is like a 7-to-5 job, this is a Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio. Even though it's a 7-to-5 job, at 5 o'clock, he'd essentially be around his kids. Whereas if he's working at the job that pays him more money and is in the profession he's done, he's away from his kids, with the exception when they get to come visit him. It's a really hard one, right? Like, the smart choice is like, yo, bro, you got to make as much money as you can. You got to support your family, yourself. You got to, right? Like, there is a certain dollars and cents to it. Like, it's not a passion project here. I got to make some money. But the right choice might be to be closer to home, just because the formative years, and though he's making less money and won't live nearly as well, and the family lives in an expensive area to live in, around for those formative years, and it's the right choice to be around for those formative years as his kids are still in elementary, junior, and high school, right? It's hard. Life choices are hard. Sports choices are interesting as well. Okay, so the Eagles have moved on from Doug Peterson. The Eagles have moved on from Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts is their starting quarterback. Now, a full disclosure, I do not believe Jalen Hurts is the long-term answer. I don't think the Eagles truly believe he's the long-term answer. I could be wrong. But Jalen Hurts is a kind of a sympathetic figure, really, right? Even though he started as a freshman and was very good at Alabama, He got benched in the national championship game and outshone by Tua. Then he was Tua's backup for a year. Then he went to Oklahoma and had a tremendous season. Tremendous season. But the issues at Alabama and the issues at Oklahoma were the same. They're the same issues you saw with the Eagles. It's initially, you love him. And then you watch him, you're like, you know, he's not really that good a thrower. He's more of a runner. Go and look at Oklahoma, what they did about midseason. They're like, yeah, if you don't like it, let's just run it. He early on, early returns with the Eagles, obviously they had that big Saints win. Then what happened? They're bad. I know he got benched and it was a bad look, and what they were doing throwing, was it Nate Sudfeld they threw in there? Right? And it felt like they were tanking and whatever. Like, that obviously led to Doug Peterson. One of the things that led to Doug Peterson being fired. But let's not act like Jalen Hurts was back there and he was like 15 of 17 with 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. He was bad. They were bad. But they were just able to hang on into an ugly football game. But this is Doug Peterson on SiriusXM talking about the decision the Eagles made to draft Jalen Hurts.
You know, you go into drafts and you go into each year looking for quarterbacks. And, you know, we continue to look for quarterbacks. And that's always something that will never change. You know, I mean, that we won a Super Bowl with our backup quarterback. And we've had to play with our backup a couple of times in Philadelphia. And so, you know, we did that a year ago and brought in Jalen Hurts. And not to undermine Carson Wentz, not to, you know, do anything to take away his job or anything, because Carson was definitely our starter. He was the franchise and all that moving forward. And but someone that could come in and be the backup and learn how to play the NFL game, you know, bring his talent to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, it sounds really good, right? But what did it do? What did it do? You know, everything stands on its it. Every decision, okay, stands on its own. Just an AAU father used to have. My late father was a high school and college coach, then AAU coach, and he had a great way of looking at games. He's like, son, every game is a story unto itself. Right? It's like the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic was dominating the series, dominating game three. The Mavericks were up 19 in the first quarter. And Rick Carlisle, who's now the coach of the Indiana Pacers, subbed Luka out. And with 4 minutes and change to go, like they always do in Dallas, and by the end of the first quarter, it was a 3-point game. 19 to 3-point game. One, there was other substitute, doesn't matter, right? You take the best player out, you sit him, it goes from 19 to 3. You made the wrong decision. I don't care what you normally do. You have to know that, dude, go for the jugular. You're up 19? If you're up 25 or 30, that game is over. The Clippers are trading dudes, firing dudes. Everything is in the question. Instead, you open up the door for a comeback. Why? Every game is a story unto itself. And every player, every situation is different. A normal circumstance, like, look, with Aaron Rodgers, the Aaron Rodgers thing made total sense. Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago didn't have a great year, didn't seem to have a great attitude towards the change in the both the front office and with the coaching staff. And you're like, you know, look, let's draft a guy who, you know, some people thought was a top 10, top 15 talent, but he was very raw. He's a developmental prospect. We'll have him for a couple years. And as Aaron Rodgers ages out, then we'll have his replacement. And if Aaron Rodgers is so good, then we can move the room. We can figure it. We'll figure it out. Okay. Green Bay's problem was that Aaron Rodgers had an incredible year. He didn't have a great relationship with the GM, and he felt like he should have been communicated with better. Like, okay, all these guys, just so you know, every one of these great quarterbacks you've ever heard of, they don't like when there's another quarterback drafted. The difference is that Carson Wentz knows that you've won games with your backup, knows you've won a Super Bowl, that he didn't win the Super Bowl. These things are all known, and he was obviously insecure about it. He had not yet regained his form. And oh yeah, by the way, in addition to not selecting some, you draft a quarterback in the second round, that could have been somebody who could help their dilapidated offensive line. They drafted the wrong wide receiver in the first round and then a position that had to bench somebody in the second round. It didn't make any sense. It may have been the smart choice. Hey, we're always going to use a backup quarterback. He's different than Carson. He can run around. He's got great energy. People like him. He's a leader. Like all those things. I'm not arguing about Jalen Hurts, right? In terms of like leadership, known likability, playing a bunch of big games, different skill set than Carson. Like that stuff is great. It might have been the smart choice on paper, but it is the wrong choice for your franchise. And this is like the end of the, this is like in a presidential debate. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago, right? That's why most of these guys get reelected. You're like, look, you're better off now than you were 4 years ago. And if you're not, then out the door, right? Are the Eagles better off? Like Doug Peterson, all he has to say is like, are we better off? Yeah, no. I lost my job. Carson got traded. Jalen Hurts is their quarterback. Pretty much everybody regards this as we had to remake things, you know, start over a year. The smart decision. Hey, we need a backup quarterback. We might use him. We need another guy. We need a leader. We need an athlete. He does things that Carson can't do. It's not necessarily the right decision. It's the same in business. Well, I'm going to make $30,000 more. Yeah, but are you going to see your kids? What's your job look like in 5 years? What's the next 5 years look like in trying to climb to those 5 years? The smart decision isn't always the right decision.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope, we grind to the very last segment. It's time for Best for Last.
Okay, Shohei Ohtani is the best player in baseball. He's an all-star as a pitcher and a hitter. We have never seen this in modern-day sports, especially baseball. Yeah, we just haven't. Okay? It would be, obviously, you guys understand the equation in football. If a guy was one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, maybe even the best quarterback in the NFL, and he was a top 20 defensive player playing both ways. Like, you just don't see it. You don't see it. Shohei Ohtani hit his 32nd home run to break Hideki Matsui's record by home runs by a Japanese player in a major league season. We're not yet, we're basically halfway through the year, and he broke Hideki Matsui's record. He's got 32 home runs, which is the most in the league. And again, based upon games, plays, and home runs hit, he's on pace to hit 60 home runs, which puts him on pace to challenge Roger Maris's record, who's the rightful home run king. Except for the fact that we have Maguire, Sosa, Barry Bonds, steroid guys. Well, you'll hear from people who follow and like baseball, like, man, baseball was better with steroids because, man, we had all those home runs. And, yeah, you know, it wasn't illegal. First of all, it was illegal. They didn't test for it, but everyone knew it was illegal. You weren't supposed to do it. Please don't give me the baseball doesn't help you. Steroids doesn't help you hit a baseball. Every number would tell you that steroids absolutely help you hit a baseball. You train longer. Your body reacts better, recovers better, 162-game season, and HGH can help your eyesight. We can go kind of through it, but the basic is the raw data. Hey, no one's hitting 65, 70 home runs anymore. They were during the steroid era. If everyone is, everything is better than before, why are we not better in baseball? There's your answer. There's your answer. But what this is what the steroid era did. It didn't just rob quality players who were trying to ascend to the major leagues. Because what happened was, like, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, they were on the downside of their career. And now you give guys who's, you know, as we all know, like, your body doesn't produce as much testosterone, you're not the same guy. We cheat nature, and it elongates your career. And by the way, they saw career spikes in their late 30s, which you never see. Why? Because the normal composition of a body. So not only did it keep players out of Major League Baseball who would have made it while those guys retired. Like, there's a whole generation of very average baseball players who weren't able to play Major League Baseball because these guys kept their roster spot and actually, you know, continued their stardom because of what they were doing. That ain't even the half of it. I want you to try and do something. This is an exercise I want you to. If you can imagine a world in which the steroid era didn't take place, imagine how we'd look at Shohei Ohtani right now. Not only is he a two-way all-star, the first we've had in modern-day baseball, not only is that true, but he's on pace to break Roger Maris' home run record of 61 home runs in a year. Now, I don't know about you, but that's some theater I would watch. Now it's like 60. What is that? Well, 60 is actually the rightful mark. That's about the limit to what human beings apparently are able to do with 162 games based upon how the height of the mound, the distance of the pitching mound, like they've been doing it for 100 years, and the guys that have done it the right way, about 60 or 61 is about the most you can possibly do. He's got a chance. That's what steroids did. It not only ruined our ability to have guys rightful like career arcs and curves and appreciate that, hey, just pass their prime and change it and put a ceiling to people who make Major League Baseball, but we can't even appreciate how great these dudes are now. Shohei Ohtani is not good. He is otherworldly great. And we don't need an all-star game to appreciate. We should have the raw data of, dude, he's on pace to hit 60, 61 home runs. You can tell me about the joys of steroid baseball. I can tell you that everything that surrounds it tells you otherwise.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Eddie House won an NBA championship. He's kind enough to join us here on Fox Sports Radio. Eddie, how much do you think it helped CP3? Do you realize that was only his fifth game in almost a month, right? A fifth game in almost a month. As opposed to Milwaukee, who comes in a little bit battered and tired. How much of that do you think helped Chris Paul dominate that game in the second half?
Well, I don't want to blame too much on the fact that he had that opportunity or give him too much credit for the fact that he didn't play the same amount of games as guys. I think CP3 is all-time great at his position. So given the extra rest, though he wasn't healthy because he was, under COVID protocol. Right. The way I looked at it was he just basically did whatever he wanted to do out on the court. So, being a savvy vet, being an all-time great at his position, I think that Milwaukee just, played into his hands. They switched. When they switched, there was a big on him. So he was manipulating his matchup that he wanted. So he was getting the matchups he wanted versus bigs and being able to get to his spot. Then when they said, okay, we're not going to switch, we're going to make the guard fight over, but we're going to play soft. We're going to play that drop, which is basically like having nobody there at all. So he comes off, clear cut, move to the basket, take a shot with no contest, no resistance. I think that it goes to show that his basketball IQ, understanding exactly how Milwaukee has been playing throughout this whole playoffs, just knew that, hey, if they show me these looks, this is where I'm going to be able to get my shots.
Okay, so I put you in Mike Budenholzer's coach's locker room. Mm-hmm. We're like, Eddie, you played in this thing. You won a championship. You've seen all the defenses. You know all the coverages. What do you do? What's your plan game two in terms of how to change and disrupt Phoenix's rhythm?
Well, I'm going to be aggressive on Chris Paul. Because as Chris Paul goes, I think that's how the Suns go. And we've seen it. When Chris Paul has these big, big games, they win big. When he's kind of been, held, I won't say in check, but just kind of held to do what he normally does on an average of his career, those are close games. You have opportunities to win those basketball games. But I would be aggressive. I would come out aggressive on him, and he's probably expecting that. But I would show him different looks. I would not give him the same look over and over and over and over and over again. It's almost like giving Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady the same look every single time. They're going to pick you apart, And so, to me, I think you got to start off aggressively trapping and then, change it up without there. You have different calls out there. I'll start off with an aggressive trap, getting the ball out of his hands, not let him get comfortable at all. Have him play on his heels and then switch it up on him. Hard shows, guard, you must fight over and get over the top of the screen and get back in front of him. But I would not play that drop, and I would, if I was going to switch, it would definitely not be with anybody that has size to where it's a mismatch for Chris Paul. I would try to keep Drew Holiday on him as much as possible. That size and quickness that can kind of disrupt him and can get to the spot that he's trying to get to and contest the shots. And on the flip side of that, Doug, what I would do offensively, I would try to get Giannis in spots closer to the basket where he doesn't have to wind up, where he doesn't have to take 2-3 dribbles to get to the basket, where it's maybe one or two quick dribbles and he's there. Some pick-to-picker type things. Cross screen down pick with him and Middleton, where if they want to switch that cross screen and now Giannis has a smaller guy on him, and right. he could go to work. Then there's a pin down where, at the end of the day, you got Middleton coming up. I mean, it sounds, old school, elementary type basketball, but basketball is a simple game. If you keep it simple, most of the time things do work, and you just have to break it down sometimes to the old fundamentals.
What if I told you, though, that that's not how they play, right? That's like the big thing is that's just not how they play, right? We've played one way the whole year. Now you want us to play it because and tell me if I'm wrong. Like I'd lie to you if I said I've watched more than five Milwaukee games the entire season. I've watched a ton of highlights, but it feels like they play off, give Giannis the ball. He goes one-on-one, help comes. He tries to find the guy, or he goes one way, spins the other. Is playing out of the post or playing out of the mid post how they play?
Well, I'll tell you this. If you are stuck on playing one way of basketball, then you're stuck on not winning a championship. Right now, you got to throw everything to the fire. You know, you got to make sure that you throw the kitchen sink at anybody that you're playing. You can't sit here and say, hey, this is how we playing. I'm stuck on the way that we're playing. Well, hey, sometimes the way that we're playing, we have to make adjustments. And as professional athletes, as a professional coach, that comes with the territory. You must make those changes. If you want to stay stubborn and keep trying to run through a brick wall to cost yourself a chance to win a championship because you weren't willing to make any adjustments on how you guys played all season. That's not saying don't play the way you played all season. That's just saying at times we might have to do these things right here, guys. But when we get into the open court and we're random and we're just playing and free-flowing, hey, play how we play. But if we have to come down and it's a set, maybe this hasn't what we've been doing all year, but I expect you guys, because you guys are professionals, to be able to get it done.
Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd. Eddie House, NBA champion, NBA analyst, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Let's say the Suns win this thing. Let's just say, look, and I believe, are you with me that I think this is going to be, with Giannis looking like he's healthy, I think this is going to be a pretty long, pretty competitive series. Do you agree with that premise, or do you think it's Phoenix in a walk?
No, I agree with that. I agree it should be a 6 or 7 game series, without a doubt.
Okay.
When you go 6 or 7 games, it could go either way.
Correct. Completely agree with you. Okay, but let's just say Phoenix has reached heights that they haven't reached in years. Chris Paul is rightfully receiving some of the respect that he deserves, not just on his play, but his leadership. The young guys love what he's doing. But then you have the question of like, well, how much do you pay him? Right? How much do you pay him? And I mentioned how little he's played. We mentioned the fact that the reality is everybody in the West is banged up and hurt, and they had a very fortunate run, with the exception, obviously, of Chris Paul with the shoulder, and then with COVID, and now Dario Saric being hurt. With those exceptions, like, they've been the healthiest team in the West. Do you do 3 more years at $100 million? Like, knowing that the production probably is not going to be the same.
I think that's something that you have to take a hard look at. For myself, I would have to sit down. If I was in James Jones' situation, in his shoes, I would sit down with Chris and say, hey, man, listen, phenomenal year. We will pay you. I don't know if I'm going to give you 3 years. I could give you 2 years, but we got to max out DeAndre Ayton. We got to get him taken care of first. And then we come in here, let's work something out to where it's a fair pay for you, not anything that, I mean, because we know, and no, ain't nobody pocket watching or counting anybody money, but Chris has made abundance of money. He has done well for himself. He still has a lot left, he has some left in his tank, but also to say, hey, how do we get better? Here, this is a deal that I could give you that is fair, that's going to be, you're still getting paid a lot of money, but at the same time, we're able to save some money to bring on other guys to shore up some spots to maybe where we felt like, even though we are good and if they move on to win a championship, we won a championship, but there are places to where we can shore up a little bit and we could be a little better in some positions. I think that's the approach that I would take if I was in James Jones' shoes.
James Jones did an awesome job since he's gotten there. He seems to have made
all the
right moves. I mean, that's something that I think we can all agree on in terms of understanding what the team needed, right? The Jay Crowder, obviously you made the right choice at head coach, and the thing has just kind of all blended together some. Okay, so that leads me to, here we are 11 years after, I don't know if you knew this, this is the 11th anniversary of the decision, 11th anniversary. And obviously that one was LeBron in his prime, Bosh in his prime, Dwayne Wade still in his prime. But what we're seeing around the league is a lot of these guys now, they're getting together, they're in their 30s, and we're seeing guys' bodies break down. And then the supporting cast you can put together, those are all guys in the buyout market that are in their 30s or late mid to late 30s, and their bodies don't hold up, or they're DeAndre Jordan, and they're just washed. They're not as good anymore. Is Chris Paul, and I know he didn't necessarily choose, the Suns weren't necessarily his first choice or whatever, but the Chris Paul putting him with a young team that didn't know how to win, should that be the next trend for some of these star players instead of, hey, let's get a bunch of old stars together and see if that thing still works?
Well, I will say this. I don't think that Chris Paul showed Phoenix how to win. If you look at what they did last year in the bubble, they went 8-0. So they had a belief. I just think that they needed that position. We can all agree that he is head and shoulders, light years away from Ricky Rubio, you know. And so when you pair that, I think what the new trend might be, you know, it's a copycat league everywhere. Every league is a copycat league. Whoever wins it, everybody's trying to do that. That's the wave that they're following. I look at what Phoenix Suns have done, and they did it in the traditional way. They went through draft. They went through free agency and, made some moves here and there to shore up their bench. But look at what they do have. They have a outstanding point guard. They have a shooting guard, that score shooting guard. Then they have a big man that's down there that is reliable, that has hands, that can finish at the rim, that can run the floor, that can change shots at the rim, block shots at the rim. So they have those three components. And then they have a plethora of wing players that are really good defenders. They doing it the old school style. They have a good backup point guard that could come in and give you spurts, not somebody that's going to be able to carry your team for a whole season, but he can give you spurts here and there to win games like campaign did in game two of the Western Conference Finals. So I look at the way that this team has been constructed. It's been constructed in the old school way. It is put together how basketball teams are put together, and they're playing like a team. It's not a super team. So it's still out there. I think that people are going to start looking at it like, hey, well, we don't have to just go spend all our money on three guys and then hope that the rest of the team, if somebody doesn't get hurt, can just pick up the slack. We could actually build something around three stars the way that it always has been built.
Eddie, great stuff, man. Looking forward to tonight's game and look forward to hearing what you have to say about it. But I love the idea of changing coverages and giving them different looks. We'll see if Milwaukee adjusts, what those adjustments look like. It's always kind of fascinating to watch to guys that are hoop heads like me and you. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me, Doug.